throughout us, pray for us. And like Brother Ricky said, we just want to do this for the Lord.
Also. All right, 2 Thessalonians tonight, book of 2 Thessalonians tonight. And if you've been coming every Sunday night for a pretty good while, you know that we've been preaching on the coming of the Lord in all the books of the New Testament, except for Philemon, maybe 3 John. But every book of the New Testament mentions the coming of the Lord. And when this truth dawned on me back early in the year, it really spoke to my heart and made me realize the reality of the Lord's coming. Thank God He is coming one of these days. Someone said, well, why hadn't He already come? Well, one day with the Lord's 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is His one day. So the way God looks at things, He's only been gone a couple of days, and He is coming back. Amen. He doesn't look at things like we look at things. Amen. Our life would just be a second, and it wouldn't even be that much in the mind of God. So, Paul wrote 2 letters to the people there at Thessalonica, and both of them majored on the coming of the Lord. And we looked at the first Thessalonians last week, and so this week we're looking at the second epistle of Paul there to those people that lived in Thessalonians. And we don't have to read far to see that Paul's letter, actually this little 3-chapter letter, has more to say about the coming of the Lord than even the other 5-chapter letter that he wrote in 1 Thessalonians. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God tonight. And the Bible said there in chapter 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you and in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all of them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. May be seated. Father, we do bow, Lord, this evening. And Lord, we never want to attempt anything, Lord, without praying about it. Sometimes we do, but it always ends up in failure. The Bible said, be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. My request tonight, Lord, is for your help and for you to bless this service and to help your people tonight. And we'll be careful, Lord, to do that. We ask it all in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Paul's second letter here is to straighten out a forged letter that had been written since he wrote the first letter. If you'll look in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 2, he said, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand." So, someone had wrote a letter and had told these people that Paul had wrote this letter. And it seems like that they were telling them that Paul had wrote this letter, and this letter was telling them that because that they were going through some things that they were going through, persecution and tribulation, that's verse 4. He said, your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, and then trouble in verse 7. They were going through persecution, tribulation, and troubles. And this letter was telling them that the Lord had already came, and that they were in now the great tribulation. And they were all troubled. I mean, I'd be troubled if I thought I was in the great tribulation tonight. I'd be worried, my friend. The Bible said in Matthew 24, Jesus spoke of that time in verse 15 of Matthew 24. We studied this when we looked at the coming of the Lord in Matthew. But the Bible said in verse 15, "When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let him that be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, unto them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. So Jesus said there's going to come a great tribulation. Just this week, I sat and talked to a lady. Her very words to me was, well, there's a lot going on. There's hurricanes and tornadoes and all these things. And she said, I think it's the tribulation, don't you? I said, no, ma'am. I said, it's not the tribulation. I said, there is troubles and trials, and we have had a lot of storms this year. But we've not had as many storms this year as was in, I believe, the year 1953, if I remember the information I looked up correctly. There's always been storms. There's always been these things. But for us as children of God, we should not think it strange if we have some persecution. Now, we don't have a lot of persecution in America. You're not persecuted too much for your faith. The reason some of us are not persecuted too much for our faith is that our faith is not worth persecuting. But when you stand up for the Lord and you really take a stand for the Lord and say something in the right place, they'll still hate you just like they hated Jesus. The Bible said that all they that live godly shall suffer persecution. Amen. So the problem is that we're not living godly enough. But there is persecution. There's always been tribulation for the child of God. Amen. We have some years that seem to be good years. We have some years that everything goes wrong. We have tribulation upon tribulation. The Bible said we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. Amen. So everybody's going to have some persecution. Everybody's going to have some tribulation, and sometimes it gets pretty rough. Amen. And then he said troubles, and we all have troubles. Be we saved or be we lost, we all have troubles. The wise man Job said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Can somebody say amen there? I've said for 30-some years that when the first thing that happens to you is somebody jerks you up and slaps you till you cry, you know it's going to be rough. Amen. It's going to be rough. So we come into this world crying, and a lot of us are going to leave this world crying. Amen. But cheer up, weeping endureth only for a night, but joy cometh in the morning, thank God. One day we'll be done with troubles and trials. The old song said, thank God. And so we realize here that they were going through some things and they thought that they were in the tribulation. And that's why Paul wrote this letter. Paul wrote this letter about it to this church. He wrote this letter as regard to the second coming of Christ. Amen. And so I want to look at this under three headings tonight, real quickly tonight. I want you to look here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2. The Bible said that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us that the day of Christ is at hand. Now that day of Christ can cover a whole period of time. Sometimes it refers to the rapture. Sometimes it refers to the revelation. You'll find in Bible study that it can refer to a whole period of time. And Paul is writing this letter because there is some confusion about the coming of the Lord. Amen. That's what he said here. He said, I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him. And so, there was some confusion about the doctrine of the second coming of Christ. Now, the amazing thing about 1st and 2nd Thessalonians is that Paul was only there for a few months, or just a very short time. But in the short time Paul was there, he taught them all of the major great doctrines of the Bible. Amen. This shows us that Paul was a Bible doctrine preacher. Amen. Paul told Timothy, he said, preach the word. He said, because the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine. But he said, preach it anyway. Amen. Lady told a preacher, she said, your sermon was so good today, it didn't have any doctrine or anything like that in it. Amen. That's what a lot of people think. Amen. But thank God for a church that knows what they believe, why they believe it. Amen. One lady come out of the church and told the pastor, and he was encouraged for a little while, and she come out and she said, your sermons mean so much to my husband now since he lost his mind. Amen. It never does for the preacher to get too inflated. God knows how to bring him down real quick. Amen. But Paul is writing because there is confusion about the coming of the Lord. Can I say that 2,000 years removed from Christ dying on the cross, there's still a lot of confusion about the coming of the Lord. If people had knew their Bible, they would have not thought twice about what Harold Camping said about the Lord coming. Amen. Because whenever anybody gives you a date for the Lord coming and a day and an hour when the Lord's coming, you can just mark it out. It'll never happen on that day. Because the Lord said no man knows a day or the hour when Christ will come. We do not know what hour Christ will come. We do not know any hour that Christ cannot come. Amen. So we believe the Lord is coming. But Paul is writing because there is confusion about this. As there is today in the church world. Now you'd think with the Scofield Bibles and Thompson Bibles and a good King James Bible, you'd think people would have something straight about the coming of the Lord. But people get all confused about the coming of the Lord. And the least little thing shakes them up. You see, they got this letter here. It was signed, made out to look like Paul had wrote it. And it was telling them that they had probably, for sure, was in the Great Tribulation. And if they were in the Tribulation, then they would have had already to have missed the rapture. And the Bible says that they were shaken in their mind and they were troubled in their spirit because that they thought this day had already taken place. Now, why is there so much confusion about the coming of the Lord? Well, one reason is because that whenever there's confusion in the church, whenever there's confusion in the life of a Christian, whenever there's confusion in spiritual matters, God is never the author. Amen. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. 1 Corinthians 15 and 33. Well, Brother Jerry, if God is not the author of confusion, that only leaves one other, the devil, Satan. Amen. And so Satan wants to get people all confused about the coming of the Lord. Amen. We don't need to be confused about the coming of the Lord. We need to be infused about the coming of the Lord, that Jesus is coming one of these days. Amen. And so Satan, he gets confusion going on. Well, the Lord's not the author of confusion. I've had a lot of it in the church here that I've pastored for 30 years. We've had times of confusion. I've had times when my life was confused and it was never God's doing. It was always the devil's doing. But even though God's not the author of confusion, I'm glad God works in confusion to try to help us to get our minds settled down. Try to help us to get our spirit stabilized. Amen. And Paul is writing here, and he talks about this confusion, and it's because of Satan. But not only that, the Bible says in verse 2, he said, don't be troubled. He said, neither by spirit. Amen. Not only is there the devil, amen, there is the devil. I was listening to a preacher last night. He was preaching, And he said that he was an evangelist and said he went to a church and the pastor said, this fellow here said, boy, he gives me headaches. Said he always promises he's going to do this, he's going to do that. He's going to be there for prayer. He's going to be there for visitation. He's going to be there Wednesday night. But he said he never does show up. He said he's driving me crazy. I don't know what to do. And the evangelist said, let me have him. He said, what? He said, let me have him this week. Let me get along with him this week. And so sure enough, he didn't show up on the Monday night of the meeting or so. And on Tuesday night of the meeting, he came and he said, where were you at, friend? He said, you said you were going to be here last night and you wasn't here. And he always had this saying every time. He said, well, I was going to come, but the devil stopped me from coming. And this evangelist, because they can sometimes get by with more than a pastor might be able to, and he said, quit blaming this on the devil. He said, I want to tell you, sir, you're not spiritual enough to even draw the attention of the devil. He wouldn't waste 5 minutes fooling with you. He's got bigger things to do. Amen. Can I tell you that the devil is not, most of us have never dealt directly with the devil. We're not that good a Christian. We're not that faithful of a Christian. Amen. And so what he does, he sends one of his little devils, one of his little demons, one of his little imps around. And most of us, the weakest one can stop most Baptists from about anything. Amen. He said, troubled by spirit. Do you ever have a spirit to trouble you? Do you? They're out there. Jesus dealt with them. You know where they usually showed up at? Church. Amen. Wherever Jesus was, that's where they showed up. I've had a lot of them show up in places I've been, I'll tell you that. Amen. You meet some nuts out there. The Song of Solomon, he said he went down into the garden of nuts. And I'll tell you, they is some nuts out there, buddy. I mean some cuckoo. I mean, buddy, their Happy Meal didn't come with fries. I mean, they're out there somewhere. But I want you to know these things. You see, there's a lady kept following Paul when he preached, and she said, you're the servant of the high God. You're the servant of the high God. You're the servant of the high God. She kept on and on and on and on. And finally, even Paul reached a breaking point and he stopped. And he commanded the devil to come out of her. It was the devil doing that. Aggravating him. Tormenting him. Amen. So there's confusion because of spirits. The Bible said in 1 Timothy 4 and 1 that knowing this, in the last days, many shall fall away to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, the Bible said. Doctrines of devils. Doctrines that say the Lord's not coming. Doctrines that say we're going to have to go through the tribulation. Doctrines that say all these things, I want you to know that confusion comes about because of Satan and because of the spirits that are out there. But then notice this, Paul said, not only by spirit nor by word, but by letter as from us. Now Paul wrote these two books. They're in your Bible. They're a part of the canon of Scripture. They're not Paul's words, they're God's words. This holy man of God was moved by the Holy Ghost to write what he wrote. He didn't know it was probably going to be part of the Word of God, but it is. But if these two books were the Word of God and Paul wrote them, then this other letter was a counterfeit, a corruption. It was not really the Word of God. The third reason why there's confusion about the coming of the Lord is because of Scriptures that are not real Scriptures. Amen. 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 This is the 400th anniversary of this King James Bible. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I heard him say this week that it was still outselling all the other versions. Hallelujah to God. Amen. That ought to tell you something. God has put His stamp of approval on this King James Bible. Amen. And when you get off in all this other stuff, all these other so-called Bibles, then they take out words and put words in and take out chapters and do this and all of that. And the next thing you know is you got a bunch of confusion in your mind. Amen. I got saved from this Bible. I got preached to from this Bible. Amen. I mean, it's done good for me. I found it to be true. I found it to be one of the few things that can be counted on. Amen. I'm not changing. A friend told Jack Laster, said, why don't you change and go to some of these other versions? Said, you could probably go farther in your ministry. And Jack said, will this version take me to heaven? And he said, yes. He said, that's far as I'm going. I'm getting off. Amen. So this one will take me as far as I want to go. Amen. I'll tell you, the trouble is not the Bible. The trouble is people won't read the Bible. So there's confusion because of Satan. There's confusion because of the Spirit's confusion because Scriptures are corrupt. And then he said in verse 3, look at it there in your Bible, let no man deceive you, he said. There's confusion because of some men that do not preach the truth of God. Amen. They tell people what they want to hear. And some people don't want to hear about Jesus coming. Amen. You say, well, Brother Rick, what did Paul do? Well, he's trying to straighten out this confusion. You say, what's he straightening out with? The Bible. Amen. That's why the Bible says study. Not just read your Bible every day. Thank God for reading your Bible every day. But he said, and some of you don't even do that. A whole lot of people don't even read their Bible every day. Some people don't even read it once a week. Are you listening to me? And then you come to church and wonder what's wrong with me. Why I can't make you shout. Why I can't make you feel good. Well, I'll tell you, if you don't pray and read that Bible, Jesus Christ can't even make you feel good. Amen. Because you have to prepare your heart to receive the Word of God. Amen. Amen. It's all right for a baby to be fed when it's first born, but after a while you expect it to pull up the table and start eating something itself. Amen. I mean, what would you think of a Christian that didn't go to church? What would you think of a Christian that didn't pray? What would you think of a Christian that never read their Bible? What would you think about a Christian that never witnessed? You might think they wasn't a Christian. Remember that old saying, if you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Amen. Amen. Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Don't you think there were some people ashamed? I mean, what about that fella? I think I got it right. He believed Harold Camping. He said, I just want to take my family on one good vacation before we go to heaven. Can you imagine that? You're fixing to go to heaven and you want to go on one good vacation? I have not seen either has entered into the heart the things that God has prepared for men. You really believe you're fixing to go to heaven and you think the Smoky Mountains has got anything to offer you? People just don't think. Amen. But that fella said he got credit cards, took his family on, $100,000 vacation. They went to the Grand Canyon. They went to Yellowstone Park. They went to Vegas. They went to all these places. And the world didn't end. He quit his job. He put thousands of dollars on a credit card. Let me rephrase that. His world did end. Amen. Well, he didn't know the Bible. If he knew the Bible, he would have knew not to do that. Confusion. And so now Paul comes along and Paul says, all right. Now he said, I didn't write that letter. And y'all folks are all confused about it. So he said, now, he said, I'm going to give you correction. And he says in verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God and that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Now Paul is going to correct the false teaching with the word of God that he's already told them. Did you notice that in verse 5? He said, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Paul said, I already told you these things. But they forgot. Someone said the job of a preacher is constantly reminding people of what they constantly forget. That's all a preacher does Sunday after Sunday is just preach the Bible and remind you of what you already know. If you've been saved very long, hung around the church very much, I don't tell you anything new on Sunday or Sunday night or Wednesday night. Most of what I tell you, if you grew up in church, you heard it then. But the problem is you forgot it, you forget it. And Paul said, Peter said, I'm going to stir your minds by way of remembrance. I'll make you remember these things. And so he writes them there, and here's what he told them that they should have remembered. Looking back in the first letter he wrote, look at verse 10. Chapter 1, verse 10 of the first letter he wrote, 1 Thessalonians. And he said, and you're to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Did you get that? Paul had already told them, you're going to be delivered. You're not going through the tribulation. You're going to be delivered from the tribulation. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 9, God has not appointed you, Christian, to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had already told them and preached to them and told them that you're going to be delivered. You're not going through the great tribulation. And yet one little letter and they're shaken in mind, they're shaken in spirit, they're tore all to pieces because they forgot what the man of God said. That's why you need to be in church. That's why you need to be here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. All of church you can get in. That's why you need to be in revivals and camp meetings and Bible studies at home. You say, why? Well, you forget this stuff. Amen. It's amazing how quick you can forget things that really are important. Amen. How many took history in school? What if I gave you a test? You know why you wouldn't do too good? You know why you forgot it? You ain't been studying it since you got out of school. You forgot it. Did you know this Bible's a spiritual book, but the same thing's true of it? If you don't read this Bible on a regular basis, I can't quote much scripture, but what little scripture I quote, I lock myself up in a room at least 1 hour every week just to remember what little of the Word of God I know. You say, why? I don't want to forget it. Because it's so easy. It's so easy to forget what you have known, to forget it if you don't study it. Amen. I heard one lady said, I've had preaching all my life. I've had enough preaching. You ain't had enough preaching till you're in heaven.
Yeah.
In the next life. Amen. Somebody said, the first church I pastored, they told me this. They said, well, you probably won't be here long. Said, we usually just keep a preacher about a year. Said, after about a year, said, we find out all they know, and then we get somebody else. How do you think that made you feel? It's your first church. You know what I said? It must have been God. I said, well, I probably won't be here 6 months then, because it won't take you that long to find out what little I know. But it'll take you a long time to find out what God knows.
Amen.
Amen. Long time to find out what's all in this Bible. A lifetime, and you still won't know it all. Amen. So Paul corrects it, and he says, first of all, Paul said, first of all, it's not the tribulation. Because if it was, you wouldn't even be here. Because I've already told you back in chapter 1, verse 10 of my last letter, that God's going to deliver you from this God's wrath. That's what tribulation is. It's God's wrath upon Israel. And this earth will be affected by it. But then not only that, look in verse 3 of chapter 2. Paul said, let no man deceive you by any means. By any means. Miracles. Healings. Sermons. Books. By any means. Don't let no man deceive you. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Paul says, before that day comes, first of all, you're going to be delivered. But secondly, he said, before that day comes, there's going to be a disaster. He said, there's going to be a great falling away. Falling away from the faith once delivered unto the saints. Can I tell you that's happening now before the rapture? But that's going to speed up 100 times over after the rapture. You say, why? Because those left behind after the rapture, those left behind have nothing to hold them. You think of how far things have fallen down with the church still here.
Amen.
But once the church is gone, buddy, it's going south fast. That's why it's going to be so awful. That's why the Antichrist is going to have such an easy time. There's going to be a great falling away. Amen. Not only that, but then he says this, look in verse 3. There'll be a great falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Someone said, preacher, does that mean that the Antichrist is going to be revealed before the rapture? No, sir. He's not talking about the rapture here. He's talking about the revelation. They think they're in the tribulation. And Paul is saying, the man of sin will be revealed before, not the rapture, but before the great tribulation. Matter of fact, that's what kicks it off. Amen. Go back to Matthew 24. Remember that scripture we read that some of it didn't make no sense? In verse 15 about the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet. And he said, whosoever readeth, let him understand. And he says, watch it. Let them which be, what is the abomination desolation of Daniel the prophet? That is when one day at the beginning of the tribulation they signed the peace. There's peace. They say peace and safety, but sudden destruction's right around the corner. And he lets them rebuild the temple. He lets them reinstitute Old Testament sacrifices. And those Jews are just as happy as they can be because they have their temple, they have their land, everything's going their way. It hadn't been like this in a long time. And then about middle of that tribulation period, about 3.5 years into that tribulation, one day that Jew goes into the temple and there's something sitting up there they hadn't seen before. It's an image of the Antichrist. And he says, no more sacrifices to the Hebrew God. No more sacrifices to Jehovah. No more sacrifices to the God of Israel, but he said, I'm God, and you either bow down and worship me. If you don't, we're going to kill you. And the Bible says, when that day comes, when you see that day happen, he said, let him what is in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop come not down. Talking about the people in Israel. Whenever that happens, buddy, if you're a Jew, you better get out of there. If you're a Jew, you better get out of there. You better head for the mountains. You say, why? Because the Antichrist is coming down with great wrath. He hates the Jews now. He hated the Jews in the past. He's going to hate the Jews then. And his whole, listen, I'll tell you, if you won't ever look right in the face of the devil, you look that leader of Iran right in the face when he gets on there and he says, I will destroy Israel. I'll blow them off the map. That's the devil talking, my friend. Yes, sir. I want you to know that he said, don't even go back to your house. Don't go back to the field. You don't have any time. He said, pray that your flight be not in the winter. You can't travel as fast in the winter. You better pray it's good weather. Some even say that it's because of the plains. He said, neither on the Sabbath, because in Jerusalem the plains are held down on the Sabbath. And so he's saying, pray that your flight be not in the winter. And he says, and then shall be great tribulation. There it is. And then shall be great tribulation. That kicks it off. That's when they know who the Antichrist is. Now back to 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4. Who opposeth and exalt himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God setteth, there it is, in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. How do you know? How did Paul correct this confusion about the coming of the Lord? Number one, he said it's not tribulation or you'd done be gone. Number two, he said there's going to be a great disaster. He said that there's going to be a falling away from the things of God. Number three, he said the Antichrist, if it was the great tribulation, the Antichrist would have already been revealed. So Paul corrects that. Now, let's look at Paul's conclusion, not only is correcting the confusion and his correction, but look at the conclusion here in verse 8. I love it. And he said, and then shall that wicked... By the way, the rapture's not back in verse 3. The rapture's in verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he, watch it, be taken out of the way. You know why the Antichrist can't come right now? Because we're here. You say, well, I thought the church was a wife. Why does it say he? The church is a wife, but the Holy Ghost is a he. And where's the Holy Ghost at? He's in the heart of every believer. And right now the Antichrist can't come to power. Because if he did, every believer that knows their Bible would point him out and they'd say, that's the Antichrist. Don't listen to him. Don't do it. But then right now they're holding back. Why can't they get prayer out of school completely? Why can't they get rid of the Ten Commandments completely? Why can't they stop street preaching? Why can't they stop this kind of preaching? I'll tell you why. Because the Holy Ghost is still here. And not now only he who letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And one of these days, bless God, we're going to be taken out of the way. Amen. I'll be glad to go. I'll be glad to get out of their way. But until I go, I'm going to stand right in their way. What about you? Amen. But then the conclusion. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now we're going to find out who the Antichrist really is. People say, who's the Antichrist? Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. If Jesus Christ was God incarnate without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, how that God was manifested in the flesh. justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Jesus Christ was the incarnate Son of God. If Jesus Christ was the incarnate Son of God, that old deceiver, that old duplicator, that old counterfeit, the Antichrist is going to be Satan incarnate in a man. That's why he said, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie, and they all might be damned who believe not the truth but have pleasure in unrighteousness. The conclusion, verse 7. The church is taken up. Hallelujah. The church leaves. It's taken up. Ain't that what the Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 4? Be caught up. Ain't that what John said in Revelations 4? In verse 1, he said, I was caught up in the Spirit, taken up, taken away. And then when the church is taken up, guess who's coming down? The Bible said the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth and shall destroy with the brightness. It's coming. The church is going up. A little time later, Christ is coming down. And when Christ comes down, guess who's going out? Hallelujah. Someone said, you better be careful, preacher, talking about the devil. Why? He bothers me all the time. Why can't I bother him? You think he likes me anyway? You think I'm going to make him mad at me? He hates every one of us tonight. Amen. And I rebuke him tonight in the name of Jesus. And only through Jesus. The Bible said even Michael, the archangel, he would not even bring a railing accusation against him except say the Lord rebuke thee, Satan. We can do that much. Amen. But the Bible says the church is going to be taken up. Christ is coming down. Our chief enemy. You thought it was the deacon. That'd be easy at this church, wouldn't it? We only got one. You see Stacy look up. You thought it was that member you can't get along with. You may have even thought it was the preacher. But the chief enemy is the devil. He's the cause of all our problems. Someone said, preacher, he don't cause all our problems. Well, blame it on him anyway. Amen. He deserves it. He's told enough lies on us. And even some truths on us. Amen. But he said, I like it, verse 8. He says, I like that word shall in the Bible, don't you? He says, he shall be destroyed. Shall be destroyed. That's why he's not God, because you couldn't destroy God. People try to destroy God, but they can't destroy God. So Satan, he's really kind of like us. In a sense, he's a man. He can be destroyed. He's even referred to in Ezekiel in some places in the Bible. It even talks about they'll look upon him, you know, and say, is that him? Is that the one that caused us all this problem? One of these days, he's going to be destroyed. Look at Revelations 19. In verse 19, you know, I told you the Lord's coming down. He said, I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. That couldn't be anybody here. And in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. Someone said, guess who's coming back? And boy, is he mad. His eyes were as flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word God. No mistaking who this is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it said, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fiercest and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, capital letters, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast. There he is. And the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken with him, the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. And they were both cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Chapter 20, verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. You say, is that the end of the story, preacher? What happened to the church? Chapter 21 and verse 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be neither more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are faithful and true. You say, what's that mean, preacher? In a real simple wording, the devil loses, we win. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, that when he comes, I'm going to be on the winning side. I like that song, Brother Freddie. I'm on the winning side. I'm on the winning side. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you tonight for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit bears witness with